glory to the Lord. Amen. Thank God the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is something we celebrate on Pentecost Sunday. And I've asked a few people to come and testify just briefly about them receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, I know a number of you would have a powerful and wonderful testimony. We don't have time for everybody to testify, so we'll just select a few, and you can reflect back on when you received the Holy Ghost and how powerful and how wonderful it is. Amen. Sister Glover, come and stand right here in the front and just tell about receiving the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord, everybody. The Lord. January 17, 1964. Woo! Yes. It was it actually started January 10th was when I repented and really felt the need that I needed to be baptized. And so that whole week, I had that anticipation, and I was Jackie, I was a little scared too, you know. But that Sunday, I knew I was going to receive the Holy Ghost. I just knew I was. I didn't know if it was going to be before I was baptized, after I was baptized. But it was an awesome service, and the power of God just started moving in the song service, kind of like today. And the pastor he said, the altars are open. You can come and pray. So I came down to the altar. I knelt down there. I had my hands in my lap. I just started praising the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I thank you. And pretty soon I was speaking in tongues. Nobody was praying with me. You can get it by yourself, you know. But yeah, it was amazing. It was the best thing, is the best thing, and will always be the best thing that ever happened to me, receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Brother Norm. Brother Norm was a teenager when he received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It's for everybody. Thank the Lord that it's real.
Yes, indeed. Oh, praise the Lord. It was in 1977, and I'm so bad at dates and all of that. I can't remember the exact date it was, but I can tell you that we were in church, and that was the old church over there before it burnt, which was right in your parking lot there where the Glovers live now. And I had some friends, and they were bringing me to church. At first, I thought this church was, the people were crazy. I'm going to be honest. Amen. You know, I thought, these people are crazy. And I went home, and I told my parents that. I said, those people are crazy down there. But there was a draw, and I went back. One night, I can remember the sermon as if it was yesterday. Brother Showalter was preaching a revival in our church, in that church, and he was preaching the cross, Christ dying on the cross. And as he was preaching that, the Spirit hit me so hard. I could see Calvary. I could see Christ on the cross. And he preached it so vividly, and God's speaking to me so clearly that I came up to the altar. Now I'm going to throw something in here. When I got to the altar, there's a reason why they say, don't chew gum in church. Okay? So, for all you young folks, there is a reason not to chew gum in church. I had gum in my mouth, and I was praying at the altar, and the Holy Ghost just came over me, and I began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Yeah. And as I'm speaking in tongues, I don't know what's going on. I know that the Lord is filling me with His Holy Spirit. Praise and God. I spoke in tongues, and I worshiped God there at that altar. And when I was done, there was little bitty pieces of gum all over where I was that I had to clean up. And after that, I got up and I walked back. And there was a old wood stove that was in the back of the church. And there was a man back there, Larry Murray. And he asked me, how do I feel? And it was like, I feel so light. I feel so blessed. I feel so clean. And he goes, it's right there. If you want more, go get more. So I turned around. I went right back to the altar, and I began to pray and worship God again. Now, this morning was said by Sister Donna that you cannot receive the Holy Ghost without repentance. That is very true. But you can receive the Holy Ghost before baptism. And Cornelius did it. Sister Glover did it. I wasn't baptized either. But after that, I became baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'll tell you, life has been a tremendous journey. I know God has never, ever left me. He has always been there. Even though I have failed him, I don't know how many times I may have stumbled and fallen and did the wrong things that I shouldn't have done. But when I turn back to God, he's there. Always there.
Praise God. Amen, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Real for a child, real for a teenager, and real for an adult who probably didn't really know much about it. But Sister Megan got the Holy Ghost right there on that front pew. Amen.
Yeah, I know the date too, September 16th, 2010, because it was Thursday night Bible study and we were having church and we were preparing for a wedding that was going to happen the very next day with Michael and I. But just like Brother Norm had said, I'd been to Methodist churches, I'd been to Lutheran churches, I'd been to Baptist churches, Catholic churches. I was in a field once with a bunch of, not a field, but like a backyard, you know, with a bunch of people gathering and just laying hands on each other. But I had never been to an altar. There was never an invitation for an altar in all of those instances. And that was foreign to me. That didn't come naturally, or it didn't click, or it was never asked of me. And Michael's twin brother, Greg, was ministering, and it was just like that, Brother Norm. I mean, it was dividing the asunder. It was hitting straight to my heart, almost as if Greg knew who I was. Greg knew what I had gone through, but there's no way he knew that. I didn't even share those intimate details with my soon-to-be spouse. They were personal. And that's just what the Lord did. But I needed a knee surgery, so it was altar time, and I just decided I'm just going to sit back down and watch these Looney Tunes do what they're doing, because I don't know what that's about. And so I sat down, and my to-be grandfather, he just was such a kind-hearted man. You know, he wasn't going to hurt you. You know, he wasn't going to lead you somewhere that was wrong. And he just asked me to come with him. So I just came with him. And then he stood right in front of me and he put his humongous, strong hands on my head, very gentle-like. And as he's talking to me, and then Greg is praying behind me, and my husband's praying, you know, my soon-to-be husband's far away, you know. And he had warned me. He had said, you don't know. You know, this isn't real life, because we had only known each other from the military and in Iraq. We didn't really know each other in civilian world. And it's not like we talked about God. We talked about each other. We talked about other things. We talked about CrossFit. So I had no idea this was going to happen. And I get the Holy Ghost. And then before I know it, I'm downstairs and I'm putting on a robe and I'm getting baptized. And I mean, when you did that, I felt so brand new and so clean and so refreshed. It was just beautiful. Of course, we had to go back to the military and close that stuff up. And I got my Bible studies. And it was actually the most profound infilling of the Holy Ghost was when we celebrated the 50th anniversary here. And it was so alive. And I needed it so bad. That's why we shouldn't wait 2 years to get refilled again. We should just go right back. because I was just running around. I was a lunatic because I didn't care what anybody thought or what was going on, because I needed that so much. He listens and he forgives and he loves, and the grace that he provides is just awesome.
Oh, yes. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm so thankful that the promises to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise God. Amen. We were in Ketchikan for the 20th anniversary of the church there, and a little 8-year-old boy received the Holy Ghost. I mean, he got a good dose of it. His voice was loud, and he was just celebrating in what the Lord had done for him. When things kind of quieted down, his voice didn't get any less, and we heard him say very definitely, he's 8 years old now, remember, very loudly he declared, "This is the best day of my life." Amen. Amen. And then an adult received the Holy Ghost. And this little boy just looked at him smiling and saying, "I know exactly how he feels." And we went to the other end of the building for a meal. And he started in again, just right there at the table while we were eating, talking in tongues again. Praise God. It's very real, folks. It's very powerful. And you don't need to wait to be refilled. In fact, you should desire to be filled again and again. Hallelujah. Because that's the blessing. Now, no doubt you heard the theme of all three testimonies of how great a blessing it is. And that's what I want to share with you for a short while here today about the blessing. Praise God. Luke 24, verses 50 and 51. We'll read together here, and you will note, no doubt, that there's blessing. Praise God. Blessing. We thank the Lord for it. Let's read Luke 24 and 50. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Praise God. Amen. Do you want the blessing? Amen. Because that's what God has in store for you today. You may have had the Holy Ghost. I've had the Holy Ghost since December 1969. But I want a blessing today. Praise God. Amen. And thank God the power and the goodness of the Lord is so real and so wonderful. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. The earthly ministry of Jesus, we know, started out with him declaring blessing. 9 blessed statements that we have come to call the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew 5 includes them. And he said, "Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And it went on, "Those who are hungry and thirsty will be filled. The merciful will obtain mercy. And the kingdom of heaven promised to those who are humble and who are persecuted for righteousness." We came to call these the Beatitudes. And the Beatitude stands for beautiful attitudes that the Lord can give. And the world tries, philosophy tries, religion tries. But there's not a whole lot that's really accomplished that can be thwarted and brought down. But I'm thankful that the Lord is able to establish beautiful attitudes. He did that in the beginning, and we turn to Revelation, and here again are blessings that are imparted, 7 of them in the book of Revelation. 1 and 3 describes those who read or hear and keep the words of the Lord. They're blessed. 14 and 13, "The dead which die in the Lord and enter into their rest are blessed." 16 and 15, He watches and keeps his garments are blessed. 19 and 9, those called to the marriage supper of the Lamb are blessed. 20 and 6, those who take part in the first resurrection are blessed. 22 and 7, those who keep the sayings of this book are blessed. 22 and 14, those who do his commandments are blessed. Notice the last emphasis that the blessing comes on those who hear and do God's word. And I'm thankful to know that God desires yet still to impart his blessings upon those who would seek him and desire him. To be blessed of God is just so far different from anything else that we might experience in this world. I think about Mary, the young teenager who was engaged to Joseph, and the angel appearing to her and announcing God's plan for her, and her surrendering herself, yielding herself, giving herself to God's purpose, and how she was blessed in those four statements proclaimed about her. In spite of what people might say, in spite of what the gossip might be, she was willing to do what God said. She believed, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And oh my, that opened up a tremendous world for her. Later in the Lord's ministry, a woman spoke out and said that Mary was blessed for giving birth to him and nursing him. Jesus replied in Luke 11 and 28. He said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Notice how there is a return again and again to the word of the Lord, an emphasis on keeping the word of God, obeying the word of God. Once it's been heard, once it's been revealed, we are to move into that realm of understanding the Lord bringing his blessing. He broke bread, he blessed it, and he gave to his disciples, who then in turn took those two loaves and fed 5,000. They took seven loaves that the Lord blessed and broke and fed 4,000. How incredible, and the strong contrast between the bread being blessed and then broken, and those broken needing to be blessed and made whole. I'm thankful that the Lord fulfilled that plan in his life. And it's almost comical to read Matthew 15 and 31 for people who followed the Lord to a mountain and read it in the Living Bible version. What a spectacle it was. Those who hadn't been able to say a word before were talking excitedly, and those with missing arms and legs had new ones. The crippled were walking and jumping around, and those who had been blind were gazing about them. The crowds just marveled and praised the God of Israel. Oh, thank God that the blessings were very real for those people. It wasn't make-believe. It wasn't something conjured up in some kind of a trick. No, it was powerful. And it was real. The Lord declared we are to ask and to seek and to knock. In Luke 11, he told the story of a man seeking to borrow loaves of bread at midnight. That doesn't seem to be a very restful thing or a very considerate thing to do. But the man had a friend come to visit, and he needed food to put before him. So he went to his friend to ask for loaves of bread. And the man replied, "Don't trouble us. We're all in bed. It's midnight. We don't want to take care of this need for you." But importunity would cause the man to get up and finally yield the loaves of bread to the one who was asking. Importunity is defined as being troublesomely urgent, overly persistent. And thank God, the Lord invites us to bring our needs before him in that regard. He went on to say, "If a son were to ask for bread, you would not give him a stone. If he were to ask for fish, you would not give him a serpent. If he were to ask for an egg, you would not give him a scorpion." No, there's not going to be any harm in those things. And he went on to say in Luke 11 and 13, "If you then know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" It always strikes me that all the things that the Lord could say in his blessing, the healing, healing, the being made whole, the peace, the comfort, the strength, the goodness, all of those things he could have listed. But what he focused on was the Spirit. Thank God that the Holy Ghost is the good gift the Heavenly Father will give if we ask him. And I'm thankful that power is able to come before us. He said he would go away. The text that we read, he departed. But as he was departing, he blessed them. He ascended up into heaven. Angels appeared there at the same time. And with the assurance, he's coming again. Thank God that we have that assurance. And that is a blessing to us as well. But notice the last thing he did was to bless them. And he wants to continue that blessing for each one of us. I'm thankful he gave the promise of the Comforter. But he said, it's expedient for you that I go away. He was letting them know, I'm going to depart. It wasn't a surprise to them. Even though they stood longing for another look, even though they gazed for another glimpse, he had let them know, I'm going to go away. But it is expedient for you that I go. Expedient means advantageous. In the Greek, it's going to be better for you. It's going to be profitable for you. They perhaps wondered, how can it be that we have you here now? We hear your words. We see your works. We know the healing takes place. We know the power is displayed. How can it be better for you to be gone from us? But he said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And thank God he had mentioned the Comforter three times in those passages in the book of John. But he said, if I depart, I will send unto you. Thank God that we know the Lord had a plan that would be fulfilled as he departed into the heavens, and then he directed them back to Jerusalem. He instructed them, tarry in Jerusalem. I'm going to send the promise of the Father. You are going to be endued with power from on high. Thank God that there would be that fulfillment. He said, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait there for the promise of the Father. Thank God we don't have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It's an interesting place to visit. It's amazing to behold the places that Jesus walked and the apostles preached. But I'm thankful right here. The Lord can fulfill his promise. I'm thankful right here the blessings of God come forth. But they made that Sabbath day's journey to Jerusalem. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And continually in the temple they were praising and blessing God. They considered that short distance to be worth it. If the Lord had commanded them, however, to make a journey of 100 miles, no doubt they would have felt it's going to be worth it. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter what provisions we've got to have. It'll be worth it. But thank God, the Lord is able to do a work in our lives, in our hearts, with just a desire for his touch, a blessing for his move. You heard those testimonies talk about coming to an altar. It's just a short walk. It's just a short distance. Amen. And it's figurative of us leaving behind our old lifestyle, leaving behind our problems, our difficulties, the things that the devil would throw at us, and coming into the presence of God and asking him, I need a blessing, Lord. I need your presence, God. I need your Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. And thank God he will delight in answering that kind of request. They had been blessed, immeasurably blessed, wonderfully blessed. The resurrection was incredible. There could not be any measurement of how great it was to see him alive after 6 hours upon the cross, 3 days in the tomb. But he is alive and giving them direction. Amen. Giving them encouragement. But now they were to be blessed beyond anything they had ever experienced. So they gathered in an upper room, the disciples, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women, his brothers, 120 in all. You can imagine how loud it got in that place. You can imagine how concentrated was the fervor and the dedication and consecration as they continued in prayer and supplication with one accord. And then that feast day, the feast day of the Jews called Pentecost, when that day of Pentecost was come, 50 days after the Passover, when those 7 weeks or so Sabbath had gone by, they would then join together in a feast day. And when that day was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Nobody was left out. Everybody had the experience. Everybody began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Oh, I thank God that that power and that blessing is available today. We read about it in the book of Acts. We know it's 2,000 or so years ago, but God is still filling with His power and with His goodness. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Amen. The power of the Lord so great. Devout Jews from every nation were in Jerusalem for that feast day. They gathered around to hear what was going on. They asked each other, "What meaneth this?" For they heard them speak the wonderful works of God. They accused them of being drunk, as though the phenomenon was man-made or caused by some other influence. But thank God, it's the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And Peter said, "It's the promise of the Holy Ghost. He hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear." That word shed can also be translated poured. And that was the prophecy that was cited. Peter preached about Joel, or from the book of Joel, chapter 2. "In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." It's not going to be a drip or a drop. It's not going to be a dribble. Thank God the power of the Lord can come pouring into your being, into your heart, into your mind, into your life, into your circumstances. Thank God the power of God is real and definitely able to bring forth the sign of speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Peter went on preaching about supernatural signs and wonders. He told them that the one that they had crucified just weeks before is now both Lord and Christ. A spirit of conviction came upon that crowd. They began to ask, "What shall we do?" Peter's reply is very simple, threefold, and very direct. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. The 120 joined in and were baptized in that wonderful name. 3,000 more joined in that revival. What power, what blessing, what glory. Now, miracles had been seen in Jerusalem. The man made whole at the pool of Bethesda. The man born blind given sight at the pool of Siloam. The adulterous woman forgiven with no condemnation and told to sin no more. The empty tomb, praise God. All of it so amazing and so wonderful. Individual miracles, if we will. But imagine the commotion. Imagine the uproar of 3,000 spirit-filled walking through the streets of Jerusalem. Oh, thank God, the power of God is real and wonderful. Hallelujah. Do you want a blessing today? Do you want a blessing? Praise God. I thought about that man in Oregon driving down the freeway and throwing $100 bills out the window, and people pulling over. And some not even pulling over, just getting out so they could grab those $100 bills off the freeway. The walkers are going to Oregon. I hope they don't get caught up in something like that. Maybe the whole wad just come flying right into their lap. They won't have to get out and collect. But everybody who wanted some of those bills had to pull their car over, and no doubt a dangerous situation. In fact, the troopers had to ask him, "Don't throw any more money out. You're creating a hazard. You're creating a place where accidents can happen." But oh my, if you wanted a blessing, you would do something about it. Yeah. Amen. And oh, thank God the Lord is able to give you a blessing today. He asked the lame man who had lain at the pool for 38 years, "Wilt thou be made whole?" It almost seems like a superfluous question. It almost seems like one that might be a bit of a mockery. The blind man, he said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Very obvious, he's blind. He needs to be healed. But the blind man replied, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." It was specific. Amen. He knew what he wanted. And thank God the Lord can bless you today. The Lord can pour out His Spirit for you today. The Comforter and the Spirit of truth, Jesus said, dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He declared, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Thank God that that was a fulfillment on the day of Pentecost. And it's a fulfillment that happens yet today. The power of God being poured out. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We need that kind of strength. We need that kind of power. We need that kind of hope. We need that blessing. And thank God the Lord is able to provide it today. And there can be the refilling as well. It doesn't have to be something that you wait till camp meeting. Doesn't have to be wait until there's a special speaker. No, the Lord is special. The Lord can bring that special blessing for you. The power of God can be displayed on your behalf. Hallelujah. How much do you want that blessing? Amen. Well, it's noon. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. My stomach's growling. I've got to have a bite to eat. Come on. How about the blessing that's eternal? How about the blessing that never goes away? How about the blessing that the devil cannot steal? Praise God. The hand of the Lord that can be displayed. The blessings of God that can come forth. Amen. I'm thankful that the touch of the Lord can be there in such a simple, easy way. Amen. And you may not want to receive the Holy Ghost the way I did. I was one of those that prayed and prayed and prayed. And my pastor's wife said, "Oh, Brother Mitch, we prayed you through so many times. But what I was expecting was something to just blast me out of this existence, into outer space, out there floating around by Mars and so on. That's what I thought." And so I'd go through my little ritual. I'd nail down and pray. And finally, one day, it was the last of the spring quarter at Bible College, and I came up to the front. Most of the dorm had emptied out, people going home for Christmas, and several of us guys still there. We said, "Hey, there's a service over at church. Let's go over there." And so we're there. There's just a handful of folks on a Friday night. And I came up to the front to go through my little prayer regimen and routine and so on. And that pastor, that evangelist, came over to me and put his hand on my head. Now, that's what will happen probably here today. But what was different is he grabbed a hold of my head and began to shake it. I mean, I thought he was trying to tear my head off. And I thought in my mind, I better start praying before he breaks my neck. And I started speaking in tongues before I could stop it. Because that was my problem. I was thinking, this is just me. This is just mumbo jumbo that I'm making up. But no, it's not mumbo jumbo. It's the Lord speaking through you. Hallelujah. And oh my. I heard myself speaking in tongues. I heard everybody else around praying. Well, everybody else, there was just a handful of folks. But I was the only one down at that altar after several minutes because tears were still streaming down my face. My hands were still in the air. I was still talking in tongues and rejoicing. God is filling me with the Holy Ghost. God is pouring out His Spirit on me, and I'm getting the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord was merciful to me. I'm thankful that the hand of God was there to fill me. Praise God. No, I'm not going to shake your head trying to break your neck. Oh no. I'm going to believe God with you. I'm going to trust God with you. I'm going to claim a refilling for you if that's what you need. I'm going to claim the outpouring of God for you for the first time if you've never spoken in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. God can do it here today. Praise God. No need to wait. No need to put it up. The devil used to fool me like that. He would tell me, yeah, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. You're going to get it, but not today. It'll be next Sunday. It'll be next service. And I was foolish enough to believe that. No, don't believe the lies of the devil. Today, hallelujah, the power of God can be displayed on your behalf. Amen. Stand with me now, please. The blessing. Oh, the blessing. Praise God. And thank the Lord that refilling is real. They were filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 2 and Acts 4. I don't know what the passage of time there was there. Probably not very long at all. Only maybe a few days or as many as a week. But they were filled again with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's what I want. Amen. Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord to come forth. Amen. Amen. Now, this is real simple. Just a few steps down to an altar like you heard those others testify. And God can fill you right where you are. Yes, He could. Yes, He could. But there's something about stepping to an altar. There's something about making that move. There's something about expressing that faith that I believe that God is going to fulfill His promise for me. I believe that God is going to give me His Spirit. I've heard others testify about it. I've seen others who have experienced it. But I want it. I want it. Amen. And if you desire that blessing, I want you to step out from where you are. If you want to be refilled, I want you to come to this altar. Praise God. There's more that the Lord's going to do. There's more that the Lord's going to display. But let's come. Let's come. Hallelujah. And let the power of the Lord come upon us today. Amen. The blessings of the Lord that are going to be in evidence in great measure. Hallelujah. Oh, yes.